Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, it is time for sex therapy with Rachel Cook. Yes, it is indeedy doodah. Now, as always, I have to say, a little ears warning. Remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. Our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook, is here to talk through your problems. Jesus, lads, there's some whoppers this week. Rachel, good morning.
Hiya, Jen. How's it going?
Good. I was a bit ropey there about 5 minutes ago, but I got it together and I'm back on track. I've had a little coffee and I'm ready to go. And I need to keep it together for this because there's a lot. We got so many questions into jen@rt.ie and some come through your Instagram, which we'll give at the end of this chat. A lot of people have various problems, relationshipy, sex-wise. Let's get to it. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay, the first one I want to go to, it says, I'm a woman and I've never been able to come during sex. I don't know if that's normal or not. I do enjoy it. I just don't seem to be able to get there. Also, I rarely have sex with my boyfriend, which is fine with me considering that's all my ex wanted to do. But I sometimes think maybe he doesn't like sex or isn't into me or something. What should I do here?
So it's incredibly common for women to not come during sex. And I'm guessing that this person is referring to penetrative sex specifically. So I think that's a good one to start with, is to sort of work out, you know, are you saying that anything that you do with your partner doesn't lead to orgasm? You know, is it that you're finding that you very easily orgasm on your own, but don't when you're with your partner, which would suggest that it's more to do with maybe you not communicating to your partner what it is that you like during sex, or what is likely to bring you to orgasm. Maybe he doesn't know your body very well. You know, this is something that we've talked about before, is the orgasm gap, which is incredibly, there's been a lot of research done on this. And basically it says that women in heterosexual partnerships or relationships are the ones having the least orgasms. So men tend to be having 90 to 95% of the time they will orgasm during sex. You know, women in lesbian relationships are having lots and lots of orgasms, but women, when they are having sex with men, are having far less. Now, we think that that's partly to do with how mainstream porn has taught people how they should be having sex, which is just total shite. And then it can also be to do with just like literally lack of knowledge, you know, that this, like, the clitoris has been seen as this, you know, mysterious, incredibly difficult to find thing. And it's like, it's right there, lads. It's right there. And so some people are harder to find. Some people's clitorises require different kinds of stimulation and stuff like that. But basically, it's really good to chat to your partner and maybe watch some non-mainstream porn. Go and find some ethical porn. And there's loads of great websites to understand your body better so that you can also share that with your partner. Maybe you can watch it with him because, you know, yes.
Go on the journey together.
Go on the journey together, because sex, you know, orgasms don't have to be the be-all and end-all. People can have extremely enjoyable sex without orgasms. And people can also have orgasms that aren't very enjoyable or are even uncomfortable, painful, boring. You know, there's all sorts of things. But I think it's good to notice that if you are able to orgasm on your own and you enjoy it and that's not happening during sex, then go on a journey. And if you're not orgasming on your own, also go on a journey, because there's, you know, possibly a whole load of stuff out there that you're going to be into.
A lot of health benefits to orgasming.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another one. My wife treats me like a child and I'm sick of it. She constantly nags me to put the laundry away and do the washing up. She doesn't show any gratitude when I look after the kids. She actually scolds me for watching sport and playing video games, and she expects me to help with the cooking after a long day at work. It's emasculating and makes me feel resentful. How can I get her to treat me like an adult man? That's from an L. Zamparelli? No, it's not. But I was reading that and I found myself just as soon as Lau came in the door last night, I was doing exactly the same thing. And it wasn't for the reasons why it was given out to him. I was just scolding him for stupid stuff. What would you say to that man who has messaged in?
Yeah, okay. So I would say there's nothing inherently wrong with watching sport or playing video games. What's not okay to be doing is to be doing those things at the expense of your responsibilities. You know, the words I'm focusing on here in this question are looking after the kids as if he's babysitting someone else's children. You know, that's called parenting. Mm. It's not looking after the kids. And then the fact that this person has used the word emasculating, you know, that suggests an expectation, or I would say entitlement potentially, which is very connected to sort of patriarchal or, you know, traditional patriarchal masculinity. You know, if your sense of your gender is threatened by someone asking you to give them a break or connect to them through feeding your family, then there's something quite wrong. You know, also the word nagging, I would say nagging, you know, it paints the person as whiny, unreasonable or ungrateful. And it's a very, very gendered insult. It nearly always, I would say, it, you know, refers to men talking about their female partners. And often it's their female partners that it's basically the men not listening to their female partners' requests to share the mental, physical and emotional load in the relationship more fairly. Now, we don't know whether the wife here is working as well as him. But even if she's not, or possibly even more so if she's not, she's also had a full day. You know, it might be different if you're paying for childcare and housework to the degree that she's able to sit around twiddling her thumbs doing nothing. But I think that's highly unlikely for most people. So the advice I would give to this person here is to say, you know, the way to get someone to treat you like an adult often starts with behaving like an adult, which I'm not quite hearing that this person is based on the information.
Yeah. That's the timing of it. When you come in for a long day at work and, you know, maybe don't get on your phone straight away. Maybe help with the dinner a little bit. That's the timing of these things. No problem with you watching video games. Just a certain time and place for these things. Isn't that right, Rachel?
There's a certain time and place, and also the recognition that, you know, we still have not come far enough in recognizing that parenting is unpaid labor. You know, it is a seriously full-time job. And, you know, at least when people are getting to go out to work, yes, they might really miss their kids. There might be aspects of being at home and parenting that they really would like to do, but they're getting the variety, you know, whereas it's often more difficult for the person if they're stuck at home all day with the children. And so the least you can do is help with the cooking.
Totally. Okay, let's move on. How open is too open? So myself and my partner recently opened up our relationship after 5 years together, and it's had its ups and downs. But overall, I'm really happy with how it's going. We decided to date separately to begin with, and now she's in a committed relationship with another man. Our communication is really good, and I was genuinely happy for her, and it's felt really enriching for our relationship. But we've caught a snag. She wants me to meet and be friends with her boyfriend, but I just don't want to. She feels I'm not being supportive enough and that I need to work on my possessiveness or jealousy, but I just don't want to build a relationship with this person. Am I wrong for not wanting to be buddies with this dude?
So great question. I'm really happy for this couple. Sounds like they have a lot of love and respect for each other and have worked hard to have really good communication. So kudos to them. So the thing in question here, what we're talking about is a concept often called kitchen table polyamory, which refers to polyamorous or non-monogamous relationships where everyone in the kind of network or polycule, as it's often called, the network of people is ideally comfortable sitting together at the table with a cup of tea together, you know. And so basically people who prefer this style of polyamory want to know their partners, which are called metamours, and be friends with them. You know, they may want their kids and their partners' kids to spend time together, or, you know, basically for the people in the network to all know each other and kind of ideally get on and might have different levels of relationship with each other. Now, that is one style of polyamorous relationship. And it sounds like this person, the man in the relationship, would prefer something called parallel polyamory, which is where the relationships operate independently. So if I'm in a relationship with you and you're in a relationship with your other partner, but the two of us aren't friends and might never meet, you know, our two separate relationships kind of progress or operate without connecting to each other. Now, of course, there's space between those two models, but it sounds like this is what's coming into what's causing some friction between these two people, that they want different styles of polyamory at the moment. And that's okay. You just need more negotiation. But I would say to this person, it is not inherently wrong that they do not want to be friends with their partners. But it is also understandable that she might be upset by that and want that. So just need to chat more to work out where you can find your comfort levels and boundaries, and also recognize that that might change in time.
Should that be done at the beginning if you're going to enter into a polyamorous relationship? Should that all these ground rules be set in stone so you don't come into these problems?
Well, I think they can't be set in stone, because often when you're opening up a relationship, you can't know exactly how you're going to respond. I've had lots of people who thought they were going to be very jealous and possessive and really struggle with that in opening up their relationship. And then they actually found, you know, because the communication was good and the way that things were set up, that they were pleasantly surprised that they didn't feel very jealous. And then there's been other people who swore they wouldn't have a hint of jealousy. And actually they have been, you know, really struggling with that. So you can't know beforehand exactly how you're going to respond, but is definitely a good idea to sit down and talk about the different options so that you at least are on the same page about what the kind of parameters are, the range of things that you reckon you will be definitely not okay with, more likely to be okay with, and very okay with. So I don't know that these people would have definitely been able to.
It's like being entered in. It's like going into a shareholder agreement. You know, you got to sit down with that partner in question and go through all the ifs and whens and buts and what ifs, you know, and revisit that after a certain period of time.
Exactly.
Because as you said, those perimeters might change and you'll feel differently down the road about different things. But as long as that door is open for you to have those chats down the line, go for it. Knock yourself out. This is a weird one, ladies. This texter says, sometimes I get a splitting headache after sex, specifically after I orgasm during penetrative sex. Why might this be? Is there anything I can do about it? It doesn't happen when I masturbate, but by the way, please keep up the brilliant sex advice on the show. There we go. So headaches, have you heard of this before?
Yeah, it isn't unheard of. So for some people, it happens when they start a medication or when they stop. For some, it's about holding their breath a lot or breathing very shallowly during sex, which can then cause a buildup that leads to a headache. It could be that you're clenching your jaw or grinding your teeth during sex. For some people, it's related to dizziness or vertigo when there's an issue between the inner ear and the brain. And that might be about how vigorous, you know, the sex is or how much you're moving around. So it could be that. The fact that this is about penetrative sex, it might be, you know, it might be the specific angle or the amount of movement. So I would say to this person, try masturbating with penetrative toys and see what happens, both alone and with a partner. You know, has this only happened with one partner, or does it happen with every sexual partner that you've had? And also, I would say, does it seem to be happening more regularly or at certain times of your menstrual cycle, if you have one? I would absolutely say it's worth seeing a doctor, because although unlikely, it could be something more serious. And if a doctor can't come up with anything and you're still having trouble, see a sex therapist. Very unlikely that they won't have encountered this before and can give you some homework and ideas and suggestions for what you might do.
This is typical of women, isn't it? Sorry to generalize, but putting up with pain of some sort. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. I hear it so often in sex therapy, friends, whatever. Oh, it's really uncomfortable. And then not getting it, and just dealing with it and thinking that that's the normal way it should be. It's so important that if there is any problems, pain or headaches or den or whatever, go and get it sorted, because you should not be in pain.
Big time. And I think it's absolutely okay to generalize there, because I don't think this is about the biological aspect of being a woman per se that makes you put up with pain. It's that the practical aspect of being socialized as a woman is such that your pain is ignored. You know, whether that's through menopause, through periods, through pregnancy, women's health has been routinely not counted in the same way as men's has historically, not in all areas. And things are definitely changing in that direction to make it, you know, feel more sort of equal or equitable. But, you know, it is incredibly common for women to experience, whether it's dryness or, you know, certain kinds of angles or things being too rough, that generally people with penises are just a bit more, it seems, robust. There's less things that can go wrong. Of course, loads of things that are awful can happen to penises. In no way am I saying that men don't have problems or people with penises don't have problems with their willies. But I am saying that it is much more common for women to have been conditioned to accept discomfort, pain as
well
normal.
Said.
So we need to keep changing that.
Hi, Rachel. I just found out that the man I am dating is following women on OnlyFans, and I feel a bit sick. Is he paying these women to perform for him? And why is he doing this?
Okay, so he might be. But I would say to some degree, what he does with his money and his time is up to him, as long as it's consensual and legal. I think there's still a huge stigma and shame attached to sex, and particularly paying for sex, which I think is really unhelpful. You know, why is he doing it? Probably because he enjoys it. It turns him on. Maybe he finds it creative and fun. Maybe it's stress relief, escapism. You know, I would say talk to your to this person about your fears, and you can discuss boundaries. But I would say here that trying to ban him is very unlikely to work. You know, porn can often be a hot button issue in romantic relationships, in part because watching porn or engaging with porn is a habit that many people do in secret without discussing it with their partners. And so, you know, some people can see porn as cheating. And, you know, if both people in a relationship agree to not engage with porn and one person then does that, then in that circumstance, yes, that can be considered cheating. But I think, you know, part of the confusion here often stems from the assumptions around what it means to be in a monogamous relationship. You know, some people assume that being sexually exclusive means that porn has to be off the table as well, whereas, you know, the majority of people would say that it's more of a personal solo activity or a thing that you enjoy doing together. So, you know, it's okay to have your views and your boundaries around this, but also consider that the other person is going to have theirs. So, you know, it doesn't inherently make someone, you know, shameful or that they're doing something wrong, or that they're not in, you know, that they're not satisfied in your relationship with them. But definitely have a chat with them.
Have a chat.
Have a chat.
End of. Have the chats. Listen, speak about the chats. Thank you so much for having the chats with me, Rachel Cook. You're an absolute legend. We'll talk to you next week. That is Rachel Cook. And you can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with the knee on the end. Anything you send her may end up on air, including, you know, you, if you're up for the chat. If you want to do that, get in touch with the team. You can go anonymous as well. You can email me, jen at rt.ie. That was great, wasn't it? Love that.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.